Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Here's a question for you. How would you rule the universe? Think if you had that kind of power and that sort of jurisdiction. How would you do it? What is the way that would work? And see, the universe, like everything in creation, can only be ruled by the very character of God. That is the character required to administer the government of God. We can look at the governments of this world, and we see a lot of problems. Lots of problems. And the thing that's lacking in those governments and the way they're run is that the character of God is not being used. God's law is required. The character of God. The character to go God's way. That's what's required to rule the universe, or to rule a family, or to rule ourselves. The same principles, the same laws, the same character. The angels, they were given a chance to administer the government of God, but they failed. We can see this by looking at Jude 6. We have a few passages today, so if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these together and see what God says about ruling and power and how to administer His government. This is Jude 6. It says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Now, you can see, if you look in Revelation 1 and verse 20, that angels are called stars. And so then we look at Jude 13, a little further down here, keeping that in mind. It says, "Wandering stars," talking about these angels that rebelled, "wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Mr. Armstrong points out in The Incredible Human Potential, which is an awesome book, it's at thetrumpet.com, you can get it for free right now, "God is creator, preserver, and ruler. Satan is destroyer." That's a great point to remember. Satan is destroyer. But God is a creator and a preserver and a ruler. When we look up into the universe, what we see is destruction. Now, there's so much potential up there, and there's so much that man is excited about and should be excited about looking up into the universe. But we do see a lot of destruction, right? They keep looking for life outside of the earth, but they don't see any, they don't find any, because everything's destroyed out there. Jude 6 gives us insight into why we see that destruction. The angel's first estate that we read about in Jude 6 was the earth. The angels failed to administer God's government. God saw that only the God family could rule with His character. And that is why God created man. That's why you exist. That's why I exist. It's because we are to develop the very character of God. That's the exciting, awesome purpose of this life. And developing that character of God, eventually, we're to be born as spirit God beings into the God family. Now, that's something that seems very unbelievable to many people. But it's all throughout the Bible. God talks about that plan for mankind all throughout the Bible. And so it shouldn't be foreign, but yet it is, because most religions fail to teach this. God's government will be restored to this earth. That's the great news. And that will happen at the return of Jesus Christ. And Christ's bride, the church, then born as God beings, will help Christ restore God's government to this earth and ultimately to the universe. That's what the Bible shows. Notice this quote from the Bible Correspondence Course, and that's a free course at thetrumpet.com. Over 100,000 people have taken that course. It's fantastic. It's free. And please sign up for that at thetrumpet.com. And this is Trumpet Editor-in-Chief, Mr. Gerald Fleury, writing. He says, look at your potential. So he's talking to all of us. Look at our potential, my potential, your potential. It says, Jude talks about stars to help us think in universe terms and of all that God is offering us. That's always the biggest two-letter word, right? If we keep ourselves within a lawful orbit, we'll be given the authority to rule over those angelic stars. The Bible talks about that, right? That we'll judge angels. Those that obey God in this life, develop the character of God, are baptized, grow in God's character, use the power of God's Spirit, and ultimately they'll be born as God beings. Those people, then God beings, will judge angels. The Bible's clear on that. And so there's a big future ahead, and it's something to consider. Do we think in big universe terms? I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day routine that we all have, different routines, but you know, we have our day-to-day lives. But what about these bigger universe terms? God's trying to expand our thinking beyond our life today, beyond our community, beyond our state or country, beyond this earth even. Can we think bigger than what we see in front of us? And the other question is, do we live within God's lawful orbit today? I think everybody would be thrilled to think about being a God being, to think about being out in the universe, ruling the universe, ruling from this earth where God's headquarters will be, a new heavens and a new earth eventually. And you can read much more about all of that at thetrumpet.com. We don't have time to get into all those details, but God's family expanding out into the universe. That's a thrilling thought. But we have to live within God's lawful orbit today. We have to be obeying God's laws today. And that's what the God family will do for all eternity. There is a correlation here. If we are thinking in universe terms, seeing the big picture of what God is offering us, then we'll keep ourselves within a lawful orbit. We will put importance on keeping the law of God because we see where it leads. See, law is not a bad thing. But again, as Romans points out, the carnal mind, it's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It can't be without God's Spirit. And Satan, of course, broadcasts a hatred for law, a hatred for government, a hatred for anything that has to do with God and God's way. And most people just go along with that, not even realizing it, but there's a hostility, even if just passive, towards God's law. But God's law is what preserves the beautiful creation that he's made. Mr. Fleury continues and says, the majority of God's own people today are out of orbit. There's an entire Laodicean church. We are, in terms of church eras, in the Laodicean era. That's the last era before Christ returns. There's a small Philadelphian remnant doing God's work in this era, but this is an era that is Laodicean. You can read about that in Revelation 3. And there's a great book, Malachi's Message, that explains that very thoroughly, if you're not familiar with it. But many people are familiar with it. And Mr. Fleury is talking about that here. The majority of God's own people are out of orbit, a worse tragedy in some respects than what happened to the rebellious angels. He writes, when a begotten Son of God, a member of Christ's bride, wanders out of orbit, we are talking about eternal life and death. There is nothing worse. Jude applied that history of the angels to the people of his day, and he prophesied about the people of our day. So again, there's a duality in prophecy. Jude was talking about people in his day that were falling away from God and God's truth, and there's a duality, and it applies to our day as well. And so we're thinking about and we're looking at the necessity of obeying God's laws to not only run our individual lives correctly, but then ultimately an entire universe. An entire universe. I mean, just think about it in very practical terms that I think we'd all understand. What would happen to the earth without the sun? I mean, the earth orbits around the sun. And without the gravitational pull of orbit from the sun, I guess the Earth would just drift, wander out into space, you know, maybe get into some other gravitational orbit. I don't know. You know, it would be catastrophic, that's for sure, especially for those of us living on this Earth. We're very thankful that that gravitational pull works correctly and we don't go smashing into another planet or a moon or something like that or get sucked directly into the sun itself. I mean, there's all sorts of, I mean, it would be catastrophe. We know that if those laws didn't function exactly as they should. I don't think we could survive, obviously, but if you could, right, who would want to be on a planet that's just sort of floating around and going all these different places and all these extremes? I mean, we wouldn't be able to survive it, of course, but it would be a catastrophe. So we're very thankful, everybody is, when we think about how specifically those laws work in the universe. And we need to stay in orbit ourselves, just like the Earth stays in orbit around the sun. There's a lot to learn from looking at God's creation. We need to revolve around God. That's the point. We need to revolve around God and His law, or we become like those wandering stars, like those angels that rebelled, and just drift and wander spiritually into blackness. We see that on the human level. Some people are pretty good about being dedicated to a routine, whatever it might be, a good quality routine of life, and have pretty good success because of it, even on physical, just a physical level. And then there are others that just, they wander and usually end up having quite a few problems in their lives. You know, maybe you have some examples you can think of. I think we've all seen that probably on both sides. But when we're talking about things spiritually here, again, we have to revolve around God and God's law, or else we just wander and we drift. And unfortunately, that has happened to most of God's people today, the Laodiceans. Mr. Fleury goes on to write about how the angels Jude describes are reserved in everlasting chains. Their sinful life has chained them to blackness, to depression, to a hopeless fate. A miserable, miserable mind frame and a miserable existence. And it's the same for us. If we're living a life of sin, we're being held by those same chains. Now, the wonderful thing about man and the way God created mankind is that we can repent. We can change. We can change. We don't want to be held down by chains of sin. It's a horrible way to live. It's a very confining way. As Satan deceives people to think that law restricts them. The only thing that law restricts people from is from getting hurt and ultimately from dying. Yeah, I mean, the law does forbid certain things, but those are harmful things, and it commands things that are good for us. Keeping the law of God opens up man's universal potential in the God family. It's nothing but positivity when it comes to God's law and to keeping God's law, but breaking God's law puts the perpetrator in chains, in chains. Even man has a law, right? There's a law that forbids murder. But if someone decides to not keep that law and they say, well, you know, that law restricts me from going out and murdering somebody. So I don't like that restriction, so I'm going to go murder them. Well, what happens? Well, we see it, unfortunately, on the news all the time. Those people are not free that commit the crime. They're caught in most every case, and they end up where? Well, chained in a prison system. And what would keep people out of that? What would keep people out of a prison system? Well, don't commit the crime. Right? I think there's an expression, you know, if you do the crime, you have to do the time. So man has a law, and if that law is broken, then people are chained. They're chained for many, many years inside of a terrible, terrible situation in prisons. And so nobody wants to go to prison in most cases if they're in the right mindset. And so the way to avoid it is by keeping the law. Well, we understand that on a physical level. We'll look at the spiritual level. It's the same thing. You know, breaking God's law chains us. It chains us to the consequences of sin. But when we implement God's law, what happens? Well, beauty is created, and it's because God is doing the creating through us. You know, God, remember, God is creator. And he preserves what he creates and rules it with his law. It preserves it. It keeps it nice. So you can see, I think, why we need to develop the character of God. If we're going to be given authority to rule, we have to have the character of God where we'll keep the law of God. Because if we don't, we'll just, again, do what the sinning angels did and destroy. And destroy the universe. And so God can't have that. God can't have that. He needs people that are developing the character of God that can rule in his family. And so this is very, very practical because every day we're making these choices in our individual lives, and we're either developing the character of God by obeying him or we're going the direction of Satan, which is against God's way and against God's character. So this is an everyday effort for us. It's an everyday effort. And we have a chance to build something amazing in our lives, which is the character of God, and that's done through the power of God's Spirit. God has the highest hopes for everybody, for each of us. Notice Matthew 5 and verse 48. This is the goal that we're given by Christ. Matthew 5 and verse 48. It says, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." That's a big goal, but that's the goal that's set out for every human being. And of course, it takes the power of God's Spirit to do that. Mr. Fleury writes, "God wants to know whether we truly love his law and government, whether we really want his rule over us, whether we truly yearn to help him build his beauty in the universe." So that's what God is finding out about us in this life. He's finding out if we truly love him. He's finding out if we really love God the Father and Jesus Christ. And do we really want to follow the direction and the rule and the law of the God family government? And then help implement it and help other people. That's what God's finding out about us in our day-to-day decisions. Notice John 21, another passage here. John 21, and we'll look at verses 15 through 17. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And then verse 16, he asks him again. He says to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me? And he says unto him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep." So this is, Peter's starting to think here, why does he keep asking me these same questions? Verse 17 says, "He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me? And Peter was grieved." And I think we can understand that. You say, "Well, I've been telling you." And he keeps asking him. It says, "Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Love you me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep." So think about that. How would we respond? How would I respond? How would you respond if Christ asked us directly three times if we loved him? And he is, in effect, when we read these scriptures. I mean, that's the question that's being put to us as well. But what if we were sitting there right with him and he asked us this three times? I'm sure we would all say, "Oh, yeah, yes, of course." But Christ was telling Peter here, "If you love me, do my work. Do my work. Support the work of God. Keep the law of God." Most of God's people in this end time are out of orbit, as Mr. Fleury wrote. And they have stopped doing God's work, and they're just drifting further and further out of a godly orbit. Loving God the Father and Jesus Christ and the government of God requires deeds, not just words. It does require action. It requires work. It requires doing something. It requires, of course, obeying God, but part of obeying God is doing God's will. And here Christ lays out what his will is. Do his work. Feed the lambs. Feed the sheep. And if you understand more about that, what you come to see there is that this is talking about people that God has called into the body of Christ and that are baptized and growing. And then it also talks about those that are being called and they have not yet come in, and they're not yet baptized, but they're in that process. God is calling them, and God does the calling, as we know, as God's word shows in John 6 and verse 44. So that's what has to be done. It's so easy to say, "Yes, I love Christ. I love God. But then Christ says, okay, well, then show me. Then do the work. Then support the work. And he didn't say support your own work or your own thought about what the work is. He said, you feed my lambs and you feed my sheep. And of course, he was talking to the chief apostle here, Peter. He had a very specific responsibility in that. But people that God calls have a responsibility to support God's apostle, to support the man that God's using. And everybody that came along in the first century, they were supporting the work that Christ was doing through Peter, and of course, working with the other apostles at the time as well, but Peter being the chief apostle. The correspondence course continues. Again, Mr. Fleury writing, he says, the fallen angels left their first estate of ruling this earth with God's law and their potential to rule the universe. Jude shows us that this is exactly what has happened to the Laodiceans today. The stakes are enormous. We have so much to gain and so much to lose. So it is very important that we understand where God is working, we understand what his work is, and that we're doing all we can to support it. That's what is so important today, and that's how we really show that we love God and how we grow in God's love. And again, that's all done through the power of God's Spirit. Mr. Fleury says, we must submit to God's law and government to keep us in our spiritual orbit. That's such a key point. We must submit to God's law and government to keep us in our spiritual orbit. Otherwise, we just drift like those wandering stars. Just drift. And as Jude shows, it's a miserable existence. It's an existence of being chained to blackness and darkness. And the wonderful thing, though, is that man can repent. Man can change. There's a time frame. You know, we don't live forever physically. We have to make choices and we have to take action. And if we are starting to get out of orbit, then we need to really get back into orbit quickly. Mr. Fleury says, what is the gospel or good news? It is the family of God administering the government of God. Those saints who submit to God's law today will rule as Christ's bride for all eternity. That's an amazing truth. And hundreds of thousands, or probably even more than that, have heard this, certainly when Mr. Herbert Armstrong taught it, and they've read about it in The Incredible Human Potential and A Mystery of the Ages and in the Bible Correspondence Course. Many supported that work. Many really dedicated themselves to the preaching of the gospel, supported it in every way, and then at some point turned aside and decided to do something else and are wandering stars today. And there's not a lot of time in people's lives to turn around just because they're getting older for one, but also the return of Christ is closer and closer and closer. If you're watching and praying, you see that, as Christ told us to do, and you can look at Matthew 24 and see all the different indications that Christ gave, all the signs of his return, and you see those happening. Notice this in Revelation 19 and verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. That's the church, is the bride of Christ, and marries Christ when he returns. That's clear teaching from the Bible. And Christ isn't going to marry a wandering, you know, bride. He's not going to marry a bride that's not in his orbit. So we have to be in that orbit, God's orbit. And again, we have to be submitting to God's law and government to keep us in our spiritual orbit today. If we don't submit to Christ today, when he returns, why would he marry us? I mean, you can think about that on a physical level. Unfortunately, there are many divorces that happen in this world, and it's because, you know, there's always a disagreement. They can't get along. Government issues, and those end up being really horrible situations. Unfortunately, Christ isn't going to have a marriage like that. He's going to marry a bride that's in his orbit and is revolving around him, as we should. So, how do we get ready to marry Christ? How do we get ready to really get out there in this universe and begin to help rebuild and develop it like it should be, like Christ and God the Father want it to be? Well, we submit to him. We submit to God the Father. We submit to Jesus Christ. We orbit around him today. We're orbiting around God. We're doing God's work. And Christ, of course, orbits around God the Father. He submits to the Father perfectly. And when he came to this earth, he pointed to the Father, constantly teaching people about God the Father. And he submitted to him perfectly. We need to do the work of God today and obey his laws. That's that orbit that we need to stay in. Again, we must submit to God's law and government to keep us in our spiritual orbit. We don't want to wander. We don't want to wander. Notice one last passage today. This is in Ephesians 5. This is talks about marriage on a physical level, and it defines roles in a marriage. But as we'll see, of course, it's about Christ and the church, ultimately. Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord." Maybe not a popular teaching today in many circles. Doesn't matter. It's the truth of God. And this is talking about, of course, love from a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband. Mutual love, mutual respect, proper governmental roles, but benefiting everybody. Verse 23 goes on to say, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And then notice verse 32. "This is a great mystery." Yeah, isn't it? Today, isn't marriage and the way it should work a mystery? Absolutely. "This is a great mystery," he says, "but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Physical marriage, when done correctly, is a picture of Christ marrying the church. And Christ is showing us that to marry him, to be the bride of Christ, Revelation 19 and verse 7 says that there will be a bride that is ready, and that bride gets ready by revolving around Christ and God the Father today. That's what we need to do. We must submit to God's law and government to keep us in our spiritual orbit. When we stay in that spiritual orbit, then we have so much beauty in our lives, so much joy, so much excitement that reaches out far beyond this physical life. But our part in it today is, again, submitting to God's law and government, doing God's work, staying in our spiritual orbit. And then, as I say, the sky's the limit. And it's not even the limit, because it keeps going. And that's the truth of God, and it's all throughout the Bible. Really exciting times ahead that God is offering to his first fruits and then ultimately all of mankind. And the goal for all of us is to submit to God the Father and Jesus Christ and stay in that wonderful, wonderful spiritual orbit. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for spending some time with me here on Trumpet Radio. This is Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.